And what I want to look at today is I want to look at the idea of battles. Can you turn to somebody next to you and say, battles? Y'all are so much more obedient than the youth. Oh my goodness. I tell the youth, turn and say battles, and they're going to actually like start a battle, okay? They should punch the person next to them in the face or something. Anyways, so I'm going to talk to you guys today about battles and about fighting battles. And the reason I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart to speak to you guys today about battles and about fighting battles is I know I'm not the oldest person in the room, but more so than at any point in my life, I look around the world. I look around the people close to me. I look around the community. I look on Twitter. Oh, don't look on Twitter, okay? But I look around the world and I see more than any other point in my life, people are going through some battles right now. People are struggling. People are fighting battles right now. And again, more so than any point in my life, I feel like even if you don't have some big mountain that you're climbing, that you're facing right now, survival even today kind of seems like a little bit more of a battle than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We're going through a battle. We're fighting a battle. And what that tells us, or what that maybe leaves us open to more than at any other point in recent history, is this one fundamental truth that the Bible illustrates to us. And that is this, is that we're fighting battles. There is an enemy who is fighting against us. More so than at any other point in my life that I can remember, people are open and their eyes are opening up to see that there's something more to this struggle that I'm facing than just the material world. There's something more to this battle that I'm facing. There is a spiritual enemy. There is a spiritual enemy who is fighting against us, who is warring against us. He is waging war against you, against your family, against your community, against your country, against a whole world. And what do we do about that? Because I think for some of us, maybe if you started getting into some battle recently, it's almost come like a punch in the face. Maybe you weren't expecting it. Because sometimes in American church, we have this idea that faith, maybe it's not even your fault. Maybe just faith was presented to you as this safe, oatmeal, self-help kind of faith where everybody's smiling all the time. Anybody kind of know a little bit of what I'm talking about, okay? And then life punches you in the teeth and you're like, what? That's not the faith I was expecting. I thought when I put my faith in Jesus, it was just rainbow and butterflies and the sun shining all the time. Anybody been through some battles? Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know faith ain't like that. Faith ain't like that. I think the reason I love when we do the At the Movie series and all that, when we look at, you know, Lord of the Rings and Indiana Jones and the fight and all that, is because faith is a lot more like that. Faith is a lot more like, anybody ever seen the movie Sleeping Beauty, that old Disney classic? Anybody? There we go. I grew up just me and one brother, and I lived my whole life not watching Sleeping Beauty because we didn't do the princess movies. You know what I mean? No. Indiana Jones. I had a whip when I was in kindergarten. I wanted to be Indiana Jones. I wouldn't worry about the princess. But I watched Sleeping Beauty because I got a daughter now. So now y'all know I've seen the princess movies. Okay. But I watched Sleeping Beauty the other day. And look, I think that faith is a whole lot more like the ending of Sleeping Beauty. Okay. Right? Now, I'm not talking about the princess and the fairies and they're floating around. No, the ending. Y'all know like the ending. Sleeping Beauty is like, it's a princess movie. And then they just like turn up the knob to like 11. Where like this evil witch turns into this like 10-story tall dragon and there's fire everywhere. And you're like, this is not a princess movie anymore, okay? I was like, when I was a boy, I should have watched that movie. It was so cool, right? But I feel like faith is a whole lot more like that with the big, huge dragon. And you're staring down this 10-story tall dragon and there's fire everywhere around. And then the question is, what do you do in that situation? Because when I'm talking about, if you've been through a battle, you realize that whole oatmeal, safe, vanilla, everybody's smiling kind of faith, bumper sticker kind of faith, that's not going to help in that situation. If you've been in a battle, you've been in one of those situations, it feels a whole lot more like that dragon is staring you down and there's fire everywhere and what do I do right now? Faith is like that. And so what I want to talk to you guys about today is the title of the message today is How to Slay Your Dragon, all right? any of my teenagers or 20-year-old people who grew up on the How to Train Your Dragon. I don't want to traumatize you a little bit. Sorry. How to Slay Your Dragon. We're all up against a dragon. We're all looking to win this battle, to fight this battle. I want to talk about that. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul outlines the life of faith this way. Paul's talking to his younger protege, Timothy, and he says this, fight the good fight of faith. Listen to what he said. He didn't say, walk the walk, Timothy. This beautiful, peaceful pathway of faith. No, he says, fight the fight. Get ready to fight the fight of faith. Faith is a fight. That's the first point that I want us to look at today. Faith is a fight. There is an enemy of your soul who is looking with everything he can to bring you down. We all, if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard the Bible verse of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Yes and amen. I love that plan. I love that verse. God has a plan and that's what he wants to do for us. But I want to tell you something else today. The devil's got a plan for your life too. And maybe some of the fire that we're seeing is because we're walking down that path instead of the path that the Lord has for us. The devil has a plan and he wants to bring you down. And look, Jesus illustrates it so clearly in John chapter 10. If faith is a fight, who is our enemy and who's on our side? John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief, the dragon, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do in your life. Every second, every day, that's what the devil's trying to do in your life. Some of y'all are like, I feel that the past few years. Come on. Come to steal, kill, and destroy. But who's on our side? Who's on our side? Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it more abundantly. Even though that thief is out there, even though you may be feeling his attacks, even though you may be up against some struggle, up against some dragon, up against some battle, Jesus is there saying, but I have come. I am here. And I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Even in the Bible, the Apostle John in the book of Revelation describes the devil as this dragon. In Revelation chapter 12, there's this passage where he's talking about spiritual warfare and all these things. And he describes the devil, excuse me, as this dragon. And he's, again, this humongous dragon. He's red. He said, oh, I don't know. He's going to say he's red. Okay. It's important that he's red. But he has 7 heads. He has 10 horns. And he says all of these things. But look at what happens when he describes the battle with the dragon. No matter what you're facing this morning, if you're facing some dragon of addiction, if you're facing the plans of the devil, right? He's trying to bring you down with addiction. He's trying to bring you down with tragedy. He's trying to bring you down with whatever it is. Look at how the Apostle John describes this warfare against the dragon. How do we slay the dragon? How do we bring the dragon down? Revelation 12, 11 says this. They triumphed over him. Everybody say triumph. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Both things. The way it's written. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Two sides of the same coin. That is how we slay the dragon. That is the victory. Let's dive into it this morning. What exactly does that mean? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When we talk about the blood of the Lamb, it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the story that you and I are stupid and sinful, and we are incapable of saving ourselves. And yet, the perfect Son of God, who was the Lamb of God, chose to take our place on the cross. He shed his blood for you and for me. In his great love, the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. It says, even though we were sinful, he chose to lay down his life for you and for me. That is the blood of the Lamb, the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Amen. That is how we defeat the dragon. No matter what you're standing up against today, no matter what it is you're standing up against, that devil, like you said, that dragon's got 7 heads, okay? What that means is there's so many different ways the devil's going to try and attack you. So when I say the battle you're facing today, it could mean so many different things. It could be a financial struggle. It could be some addiction struggle. It could be some relationship struggle. No matter what it is, you may be thinking something completely different when I say that today. But the victory is the same. Through faith in the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb. The perfect spotless one. And yet, on the other side of that coin is this curious, crazy little phrase of the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb. There's nothing that you could do, nothing that I could do to earn it, to deserve it. The blood of the Lamb. The fact that the Son of God chose to die for me. I could never earn that. It's all by his grace, all by his goodness, all by his power. There's nothing of my responsibility that has to do with that. That's all on him. And that's some good news, isn't it? That it ain't in my power to defeat that dragon. And yet, on the other side of that coin is this curious little phrase and the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I think we can kind of get the blood of the Lamb side, right? It's God's power. God holds the victory. God's the one who does it. And yet, it's still included in there. The word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. What does that mean? If he holds the victory, how do we triumph over him? By the blood of the Lamb and then by the word of our testimony. That word testimony, it means to be a witness. If you're in court, we got testimony, we got witnesses. They come up and they give their testimony. What does the witness do? What is a testimony? It's somebody who says what they see. Let's rewind and say that again. A witness is somebody who says what they see. It's somebody who says what they have been witness to, says what they have experienced. Here's the beauty of that plan that God outlines for us of how we slay our dragon. There is the side that is the blood of the Lamb. That's the power of God. That's the ultimate goodness of his plan, his mercy, his gospel. And then there is the word of our testimony, which is the power of God made local. Whoo! The power of God Almighty up in heaven, and the word of our testimony is the power of God made personal. What does it look like in my life that God is all good and that he's forgiven me when I was a sinner, when I was dead in my trespasses? What does it look like for me? And that's how the Apostle John says, we triumph over the dragon. We triumph over the devil. We triumph over whatever that struggle is that he's thrown in your path by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now, if you spent any time in church, maybe you had like some guest speakers or you get on YouTube and you watch the Christian speakers. Anybody ever heard just a really powerful testimony before? Anybody, somebody who was like a drug dealer or like a murderer or just like these like crazy things. And then God just speaks to them in this big, loud, booming voice. It's like this powerful testimony. You know what I'm talking about? And then you look at your own life and you're like, I don't have a testimony like that. Some of y'all think about that and you're like, I don't have a testimony. They got the testimony. They were the murderer. And now they're leading millions of people to Jesus. There's just a little old me, okay? I don't have a testimony. They've got a testimony. I don't have a testimony. There'd be nothing further from the truth. Every single one of us has a testimony. Every single one of us has a testimony. And if you feel like you don't have a testimony, step out in faith in the blood of Jesus and see your testimony get written today. Come on. Oh, that laughing is people who know, right? You feel like you don't have a testimony. God wants to write your testimony starting right now. He's already been writing your testimony. He knows every single one of our days before they've even come to pass. He is the one that's writing that testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, I love the image. I love the picture, right? How to slay your dragon, right? John has the picture of the Lamb and the dragon. Now, if you're visual like me, okay, think about a dragon, okay? Everybody close your eyes. Think about a dragon. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, whatever, Sleeping Beauty. Think about that dragon, okay? Now, think about a lamb. Are we there? You kind of just juxtapose it, put a lamb and a dragon right next to each other. Who looks like they're going to win that battle? Anybody? Okay. It's not even like the lamb is like a, you know, it doesn't say the lamb has like, it's like a flying lamb, you know, like super lamb. Okay. In fact, what is the thing that we know about the lamb? He has bled. So it's not just a lamb against a dragon. It's the lamb who was slain up against the dragon. I don't know how intimidating your dragon looks right now. Some of y'all might be in the middle of that fight right now. Some of y'all are suffering from the beats and the blows of the dragon as we speak. You're still nursing some wounds, and it looks like the dragon's going to win, but I'm going to promise you, our God is the God who whoops a dragon with a lamb. Through the power of the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony. God, no matter what the situation looks like. You know, this week I was reading a story about this guy who was hiking on the side of a mountain, right? There's a big old mountain. And on the side of the hiking trail, there's this steep cliff that goes down like 1,000 feet. And of course, because we need it to happen in the story, he falls off the side of the cliff, okay? And he's holding on to this little branch on the side of the cliff. Holding on for dear life. He sees that ravine down there, 1,000 feet down, just poof, straight drop. And he calls out up back up to the hiking trail. And he says, "Is there anybody up there? Help me." And he hears this deep booming voice that sounds like the voice of God. And it says, "I am here. Do you trust me?" And he says, "Yes, thank you, God. I trust you." And the voice replies back to him, says, "If you trust me, then let go." And he looks down, 1,000 feet down the ravine. And he looks back up and he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Sometimes our journey of faith brings us to some difficult situations that are uncomfortable, that are dangerous. And in those moments where God's writing our story and we're up against something that's tough and obedience to him seems impossible, we get to that point where we really have to ask the question of, what am I trusting in? My eyes are telling me one thing, and yet the gospel, the word of God, is telling me something completely different. What am I trusting in right now? It's almost like we get to this point again, where if we maybe bought into this Americanized version of, you know, everybody's smiling when you give your life to Jesus and it's just self-help and like, it's just that just plain powerless kind of faith, if we could call it that, where we get into this trap of thinking about God saying, "Well, I feel like I'm not getting anything out of this." You look and you're looking down the ravine and you're like, "I never should have come down this path in the first place. I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm ready to jump ship at this point. I don't want to trust that voice right now. I'm not getting anything out of this. That relationship with Jesus, we get to the point of like thinking that it's all about what can we get out of it in this moment at this very second. I was thinking about this time when I was really sick a few years back. Our kids were a lot smaller. And my middle son, my second son, Isaac, came up to me when I was really just sick in bed. I was one of those, just like, I don't know, it was a flu, something just completely knocked me out. And he comes up and he says, "Daddy, I hope you feel so much better." And I was like, "Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I just hope you feel so much better in the morning." And I was like, "Thank you." And he says, "I hope you feel so good that you can go get us donuts in the morning." y'all know the kids like that, right? There we go. But we get to that moment in our faith of like, I feel like I'm not getting anything out of this right now. And I want to tell you this. Our God is not laying sick in bed. Our God is not powerless to help you when you're fighting, you're face to face with that dragon. He is not powerless to help you. In fact, I would say that the Bible shows us that in the middle of that, we serve a God who is still working all things together for our good. The blood of the Lamb means he holds the victory in his hands. And when we're staring down the side of that ravine, when we're face to face with the dragon and we're asking that question, what am I really trusting in that moment? We have to be very careful that we know what we've put our faith in. We know that our faith and our trust is in the blood of the Lamb and nothing else. In the ultimate power and goodness of God and nothing else. Because it gets so tempting in those times, just like our friend in the story, where you're staring down the side of the ravine and you're like, "Well, God's telling me one thing, and that does not seem like it's going to work out good for me." It's very tempting to have to shift our faith just a little bit in those trials. Shift our faith just a little bit in those moments. Maybe we shift our faith away from the blood of God, the blood of the Lamb, away from his goodness, away from the fact that he can provide every single one of our needs. And we shift our faith away from that. And instead we put our faith and our trust in our material possessions. We shift our faith away from the goodness and the provision of God over to maybe if I just earn a little bit more, then we'll be all right. Maybe if I just we get the bigger house, then everything will be okay. If I just make a little bit more money, everything will be all right. Or maybe we shift our faith away from the blood of the Lamb into the fact of, you know, if I put my faith and my trust in being a part of the right team these days. Because the truth is this, is that when we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves people of faith. And you know, you look at atheists or people who don't believe in Jesus, we say that, well, they don't have faith. Or you look at Christians who, you know, maybe they've backslidden, they've turned their backs on Christianity altogether. And we look at them and say, oh, they lost their faith. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's got faith in something. The unbeliever has just as much faith as we have faith. They're just trusting in something else. Everybody has their entire life full of moments where they choose and they display what their faith is in. What do I mean by that? We all believe in something that can give us worth, that can give us our identity, that can give us our purpose, that can give us our salvation. Is it material possessions? Is it being on the right team? Or more likely in 2024, making sure you're not on the wrong team, okay? I ain't just talking about Alabama, y'all. I'm talking. Again, maybe in church circles, it's because you believe this ideology, not like those people who believe the other ideology. Or in politics, we believe this, not like those people who believe all that stuff. As long as I'm on the right team, then I'm good, I'm safe, I know that I'm all right. Or even more dangerous for the Christian is we get into those hard, terrible times, and instead of putting faith in the blood of Jesus and in his goodness and in his power, Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you've really starting to got the hang of this whole thing. And we start to put our faith and our trust in our own moral success. God, I've been behaving for these last 20 years. You owe this to me. As long as I do this and do this and make all the right steps and take all the right, make all the right choices, all those things, I'll be the right person. I'll be the best person. I'll know that everything should happen just the way I planned it. What was that verse Pastor Bill was talking about a while back, right? About having the appearance of godliness but lacking in the power. What does the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle John say, where is the power? It's not in the behavior, it's in the blood. It's in the blood of the Lamb. Because as Christians, as believers, we fall into this trap sometimes. And I want to shout it from the top of a mountain this morning, okay? Do not fall into this trap. That faith in Jesus is what gets us into heaven. But after that, we need to go into the deeper things, right? Faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith in, you know, putting our faith and our trust in Him. Seeing the gospel. Seeing how much He has saved us and how much He loves us. That's great to get you started. But then we need to go into the deeper things. Y'all, the Bible says that the gospel is what angels have been longing to look into since before the creation of the world. And God has revealed it to us. The blood of the Lamb, there's nothing deeper. You can't go deeper than the fact that the God who created the universe loves you so much that He took on flesh and decided to die, shed His blood for you and for me to show His great love for us. There's nothing deeper. There is nothing deeper. And this is the myth and the trap that we fall into, is thinking that faith is what gets us into heaven. But to get through earth, then we got to go and find some other skills. Faith alone gets us into heaven. But no, we got to go something deeper. There's got to be something else, something added, something extra to get through those tough times. And what we're saying in that moment is we're saying that faith is good enough to get us into heaven. Excuse me. Faith is good enough to secure our future, but it's not good enough to strengthen us in the present. Leaning on Jesus, trusting in Him is good enough to secure our future, but it's not good enough to get us through the struggle against the dragon we're facing right now. I'm going to tell you what, take that lie and send it straight back to the pit of hell where it came from. What does the Apostle John say? We overcome, we triumph over every scheme and every plan and every attack that the devil has against your life right now through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Faith and trust in the goodness and the power and the sacrifice of His Son Jesus on the cross for us. And then the testimony of walking that out. It may not seem like it makes sense, but it's true. The Lamb defeats the dragon. The blood of the Lamb is powerful. The blood of the Lamb is where the power is. And it comes way, even God's showing it all over Scripture. In the Passover, in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. The Israelites, God's people, where they were slaves for 400 years. And God says, I'm going to deliver you. And He does miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. All these awesome things. You know, as Christians, maybe you've been praying for a miracle, praying for a miracle. And God does all these amazing signs. All these crazy things happen. Turns the whole river into blood. Frogs are raining from the sky, right? Some of you guys maybe aren't praying for frogs. Maybe if they eat mosquitoes, I'd be praying for some frogs. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jesus, send us some frogs, something to eat these mosquitoes. But God does miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. And what is the greatest miracle that He does to protect the Israelites and deliver them from slavery? He sends the angel of death through all the Egyptians. And He says to protect and to cover the Israelites, it takes the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Yeah. It's the picture. It's the picture of Jesus and what he would do for us in our own life. It's not just good enough to get you into heaven. It's good enough to get you through today. Leaning and trusting in him. Exodus 12 through 13 says, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. The blood of God, the blood of the Lamb holds the victory. And now what I want to talk about from now is the testimony. The word of the testimony is us walking that victory out. Walking that victory out. Because I think the very logical question when we're talking about all this of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, Jesus on the cross defeated death, sin, hell, and the grave. The dragon that's standing up against you right now, he's a defeated foe. He's already defeated. And so the very logical question is like, okay, so what about right now? If he's defeated, why is he still attacking me? If he's defeated, why is he still wreaking havoc in my family right now? If he's defeated, then why are all these things happening? I put my faith in Jesus 20 years ago. I put faith in the blood of Jesus 20 years ago. Why am I still fighting today? If the devil's defeated, why are we still fighting? It's because of this, and this is a very theological term. We're in the in-between, okay? Very theological. And what do I mean by that? On the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. He defeated death, sin, hell, and the grave. There is no power anymore. And yet, God, in his ultimate infinite wisdom, has said, the devil's not destroyed quite yet till the end of time. He will throw him in the lake of fire. And I love what it says in Revelation 21, that Jesus is sitting on his throne. When we are one with him for all of eternity, he declares from the throne that there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, for the old order of things has passed away and the new has come. Thank you, Jesus, for that future. That's the end of the story. That's our future. He defeated the devil on the cross. He will destroy the devil at the end of time. So right now, y'all understand when I say we're in the in-between right now. He's still going to throw things at you, but he's a defeated foe. And even if it seems like it doesn't make sense, no, the same exact thing happens in the real world too. If you ever study World War II, after we dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and within a few days, the Japanese signed this unconditional surrender. They were defeated. They gave up. The war was over. And yet still, for days, weeks, months, the Allies still had to go through all those Pacific islands, and there were still pockets of Japanese soldiers who were still fighting the fight, even though they were defeated, even though they had signed this unconditional surrender. In fact, the very last one, his name was Teruo Nakamura, and y'all know when he gave up. 1974. Some of you guys are like, I don't even know when World War II was, okay? That was 29 years after the Japanese signed the unconditional surrender. This guy was still fighting. He was a defeated foe and he was still fighting. And from what I read, he wasn't too happy to surrender either. So how do we fight right now? If the blood is all sufficient, what does it mean to have our testimony? Why do we need our testimony right now? And that brings us to the second point. It took me a long time to get here, but point number two. Faith is a fight, and the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, how do we see it? How do we slay the dragon? The second point is we got to step out. Everybody say step out. We have to step out. If the devil is defeated, if he's that foe and he's defeated and he's still fighting us, we know that God holds the victory. He's already defeated him. We know he's going to be destroyed at some point. We know that the blood of the Lamb holds all the power. If we would just lean and trust on it, what does the word of the testimony mean? It means when we walk out that victory every day in our lives. defeat the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, what God has done, what we could never do, and the word of our testimony of walking that out day after day after day after day. And at the end of our life, we can look back and say, you see that place where I stepped out? And Jesus delivered me. You see that place where I stepped out and Jesus sustained me? You see that place where I stepped out and I thought there was no way God could do it, and somehow he made a way. That's the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The writer of Hebrews says it in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He's talking about faith. He's talking about trust. How do we step out? What does that look like? He says, now faith is the confidence. Can somebody say confidence? It's the confidence in what we hope for. It's the confidence that one day there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness, for the old order of things has passed away and the new has come and the devil is thrown in the lake of fire. Hope in that. And it's the confidence in that hope. That's what faith is. I'm going to walk out every day like I know that that devil is defeated. I'm going to walk out every day like I know that I'm going to be delivered from that addiction. I'm going to walk out every day knowing that whatever this relationship problem that's happening in my family, I know that God can work it together for our good and bring us back together. I'm walking out that faith. That's what the word of my testimony is. I'm stepping out in faith. And it's the assurance about what we do not see. You may not see the victory, but it doesn't mean that God has not already won it. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And then he says this in verse 2. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And he goes on and he goes and tells all the stories of these heroes of the faith. He goes through all these stories of the heroes of the faith. And I actually got a video of a hero of the faith. It's not a hero of the faith. This is Indiana Jones. Okay, all right. But I didn't get to show this clip during at the movies. I've been dying to show it, okay? But this is from The Last Indiana Jones, where he's standing this last trial, and it's called the Leap of Faith. His father is dying in the other room, and he's got to get through all these trials. And this last trial, before he gets to the very last little thing, is called the Leap of Faith. And he sees what his eyes see, and yet he knows he still has to take that leap of faith. Can we play that clip real quick? I think there's supposed to be sound, but it's more dramatic this way. Can we restart it? Is that cool?
Possible. Nobody can jump this. Thank you.
A leap of faith is a lot like that, right? When we say step out, the writer of Hebrews, when he's talking about faith, is he's talking about that idea, the confidence of what is hoped for, the assurance of the things that I do not see. And then he goes on for the rest of that chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter, or the hall of fame of faith. And he basically gives us a cliff note version of the Old Testament. And he goes hero after hero of the Old Testament and their situation and what they did. He starts naming them, every single one of them, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all these things, these great miraculous feats of faith that they did. And he's so careful to write before every single one of them. He says it's by faith. By faith, Abel offered that sacrifice. By faith, Noah built the ark and saved humanity. By faith, Abraham stepped out and believed that God would give him a son, even though him and his wife were barren. By faith, they believed. By faith, Joseph continued to believe in the goodness of God, and he saved all of Egypt. By faith, Moses led the people out of Egypt. By faith. It was all through that confidence in the goodness and the power of God, no matter what my eyes are telling me. They stepped out. And so when we say step out, that may not be super satisfying to you this morning. Because when I'm talking about how do you slay your dragon, you're wanting me to give you like, okay, wake up. And then for 10 minutes in the morning, you should do your devotion. And then you need to make sure you have a liter of water. And then you need to do all these things, right? Make sure you do 40 push-ups. And then no, okay. I'm not going to get that specific with you, because when you read through Hebrews chapter 11 and it says, by faith, they did all these things, not one of them is the same. Do y'all get what I'm saying in here? In that hall of fame of faith, the way they triumphed over the devil's schemes in their life, the way they took part in the great story of God throughout the ages, throughout the generations, in their family, in their community, was by faith stepping out. David slayed a giant. Noah built a boat. There's all these crazy differences. And so for every single one of us in here, when I say step out, you might get nervous and you're probably thinking of something completely different from the person sitting next to you. But what does that look like in your life and in your community, in your family, in your business? What does it look like to step out in faith in the blood of the Lamb, in the goodness of God, and in his power to defeat the attacks of the enemy in your life, that he already holds the victory? What does it look like to step out? What does it look like to step out? For some of you guys, it might be, you know, you're in a job or in a business that most everybody else in that business, they do not take the honest route. And you got to sit there thinking, if I want to keep my business afloat, if I want to get that promotion, I've got to do what everybody else is doing. There's no way I could just, you know, be completely honest and faithful to God in this situation, because, you know, everybody else, that's not how it's done in this business. And yet by faith, trusting, no matter what the situation looks like, God holds the victory and we walk out the victory. Some of you guys, it might be this some relationship problem. They said they hate me. They're never going to come back. Everything is broken and it's terrible. There's no way. And yet, if I stay faithful and true to what God has called me to do, if I stay faithful and true to show love over and over, if I stay faithful to the power and the blood of God, God can work all things together for our good. I'm going to stay faithful and true to him and step out in faith over and over and over and over again. When we're staring down that ravine that's 1,000 foot tall, and God says something that doesn't make sense, are we going to step out? Ephesians chapter 2 says it so well in verses 8 through 10. It says, we are saved by grace through faith. He says, it's by grace you have been saved through your faith. The grace, the gift of God, the blood of the Lamb, he gave it to us. He loves us so much. Through faith, we trust in him. And it says, it's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. And I love it. He says, it's not by works. Very important as we're kind of closing out the message here. You do not make it into heaven by the stepping out, okay? It's not what happens. It's not the stepping out, okay? It's not the works. It's not the behavior. It's not all those things. It's the gift of God that saves us. But look at what he says in verse 10. You are God's handiwork. You're his masterpiece, one of the translations says. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. Fighting that battle, stepping out in faith, doing that thing. It's this beautiful mystery that it's not the works that save you, but it said we are saved for the works. It's not winning the battle that saves you. It says, oh, God has saved you, so you get to fight this battle right now. That doesn't sound very encouraging, but it's the truth. And that's the third thing that I want us to look at, is that this. If we're going to slay the dragon, if we're going to fight the battle that we're fighting right now, we got to know. Number one, we got to step out. But number two, we have to know this, that God has prepared this battle for you. Look at what it says. It says that you are saved in Christ Jesus to do good works. We look at the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We look at David slaying Goliath. We look at all these heroes of the faith and all these things that they did. And we say, I want that in my life. I'm going to tell you something. God has prepared some battles for you to fight. He shows us over and over and over and over and over again in life that comfort is not the most important thing. When you're staring down that ravine, when that dragon is staring you right in the face, he's giving us the opportunity to grow in our trust and our faith in him. See, it's the trust in him that's so much more important than the comfort that every other gospel around us wants to preach to us. Everybody else in America that's going this way, all the influencers, all these people who are trying to point you to go this way, they're saying it's the comfort, it's this approach, it's this ideology, it's all these things. And God is preparing these battles for us to say, no, I'm leading you deeper and deeper and deeper into the trust in my goodness. I'm leading you deeper through this battle to lean on the blood of the Lamb. I'm leading you in to lean on my goodness and my power and my love for you each and every day. And that's what he says about all those heroes of the faith is, look, they got to that dragon. They got to that head of their dragon. They got to that battle. And by faith, they built the boat. By faith, they slayed the giant. By faith, they slayed their dragon. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Don't be intimidated when you see a dragon. Be prepared. Because God holds the victory in his hand. He's a defeated, look, the devil is a defeated foe. And if you're staring down one of the heads of that dragon, whatever it looks like in your life, step out in faith because he's a defeated foe. Step out in faith because God already holds the victory. Step out in faith because we trust that even if God says, let go, we know that he can do the miracle. Even if God says that the lamb is going to defeat the dragon, I trust him because he's done it. And he can continue to do it over and over and over again in my life. And as the writer of Hebrews is closing up that chapter 11, he says this, all those heroes, they were commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Whew, y'all see what he's saying right there? We look at Noah, we look at David, we look at Elijah, we look at all these heroes of the faith. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, the battle you're facing right now, the dragon you're facing right now, you are just another step in this story that God has written and woven all throughout history and all throughout the Bible, all throughout the story. And he's saying those people stepped out in faith without even that explicit view of Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified for their sins, the ultimate love of God. They didn't have the full 100% clear picture, and we do. We've got the secret weapon. And it says, through us, we can make the whole story. We can make it all perfect. It's coming to that, the culmination, the climax here with us in this moment. When you're facing your dragon, when you're facing your battle, are we going to step out? How do we continue to do it? I kind of gave a little clue there, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, he continues on the very next verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, David's watching and Elijah's watching and they're all watching. The generations that have gone before you, maybe your parents, your grandparents who put that heritage of faith in you, they're all watching. They're like in the grandstand of heaven, looking down on us. They're watching us. Since we're surrounded by it, let's strip off everything, every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. If you're fighting against that dragon, don't let whatever it is that's been holding you back keep weighing you down anymore. Anything that keeps me from the blood of the Lamb, it's gone. Anything that keeps me from leaning and trusting on Him anymore, it's gone. Because we're surrounded by it, throw everything aside and run with endurance. Fight with endurance the fight that God has set before us. And how do we step out? How do we defeat the dragon? Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Can everybody say Jesus? Look at what he's saying. We don't look at Jesus to get saved and then move on to deeper, greater things. No, no, no. If you're in the middle of that battle, we take our eyes and we fix them on Jesus, another translation says. You got to make sure your eyes aren't leaving him on the cross and his love for you. I fix my eyes. I'm going to fasten my eyes in. I'm going to tape them, super glue them. Whatever I've got to do, I keep my eyes on Jesus. Because it says he's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Do y'all see that? He doesn't just get us into heaven and then we're on our own. He initiates our faith and he perfects it through every battle that he's prepared for us. We fight the fight of faith. We step out and we know that defeated foe that we're staring down, God has prepared this battle for us. And here's the last point. And we'll close up with this. God hasn't just prepared this battle for you. God has won this battle for you. Come on, y'all. He's won this battle for you already. He works all things together for our good. So my question today is, are we going to step out and trust that he's won it? Are we going to step out and trust? What does that look like in our own lives, in our relationships, and in our businesses? What does it look like to step out in faith? In our relationships, what does it look like to step out in faith? He's already won this battle for you. So let's go ahead and let's bow our heads and pray. God, we just thank you today. Lord, as we stare down the battles and all the struggles that we're going up against right now, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you hold the victory in your hands. Spirit, give us strength to step out in faith. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to fix our eyes on your sacrifice and on your love and on your goodness and on your power. That God, you are so good that you can defeat the dragon with a lamb. So Lord, help us to put our faith fresh and new in the lamb today and in your blood. Before we close out, guys, everybody keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. We give this opportunity, this invitation every single week. If you want to start, right? We said Jesus is the starter and the perfecter of the faith. If you want to start your walk of faith with him today, maybe this is new to you that Jesus died for you and that he loves you. I'm telling you something. He's inviting you today. He wants you to come into this walk of faith. He wants to fight this battle for you, alongside you. And we do that by accepting what he's done on the cross. He's already won it, but we accept it. And so if you want to accept that gift, church, we want to pray with them. So if you want to pray that prayer, if you're watching us online, you're in the room with us and you want to pray that prayer, we're going to pray it out loud. You don't have to come up in front. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. The whole church, we're actually going to pray this prayer along with you. It's not the words of this prayer that save you, but it's that. It's the faith. It's reaching out. It's that heart reaching out to God. He's already saved you. We accept the gift. So church, let's go ahead and pray right now. If you want to pray that, I ask you, just go ahead and pray along with us. Church, let's pray so nobody prays alone. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm a sinner, and you died for my sins. I believe you rose again, and I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Can we put our hands together for anybody who prayed that prayer today?